One of the toughest challenges for Christians today is to find a good church, a place where the gospel is powerfully preached, where worship is reverent, and the people have a genuine love for one another. Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and I invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Sunday school classes for all ages, including adults. For more information, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
Contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, we are often confused as to the design of Christian ministry. We have had so much pressure in our day to send everyone out into the field to do something big for God, to be a stormtrooper for Jesus, to do something so magnificent for God, wanting to work for God, that when people come back from these projects, they don't know how to integrate into church life. They don't know how to be sacrificial in their thinking of raising families, of encouraging, of doing the mundane things in the life of the church that seem so insignificant. And this has created a giant problem for understanding ministry and why so many young people have been disconnected from the church. We're going to look today at the design of Christian ministry, how we can be involved in abounding in the Lord's work. That's the message today, abounding in the Lord's work. And it may surprise you of the simple things the Lord tells us to do, of how we can abound in that work and please Him in our service. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we direct you to our website at agradio.org, agradio.org. Please download the podcast, write to us. We'd love to hear from you. We read all of your correspondence, and it encourages us a great deal. agradio.org, find us on Facebook. And again, thanks for all of your prayerful and financial support of Abounding Grace Radio. Here is that message from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, abounding in the Lord's work. Well, after some time of study in 1 Corinthians now, we come to the last chapter, and I would say tonight probably the most unappreciated chapter in the book. When you read it, one pastor said, it seems like we're reading a bunch of personal emails, doesn't it? In fact, it really is treated by many expositors as just some kind of final instructions by Paul on things with little to no structure and little to no reasoning. I want to challenge that tonight. I think there's a lot going on here. In fact, this is one great closure to this book. We have spent so much time looking at all of these accumulation of problems in Corinth, all the problems that have plagued this church. There have been so many, I don't need to rehearse them all again. But I think you felt throughout the whole thing, this thing could have been for today's church. Everything in the first century, all the problems that they had, we have every single problem and more today. And this book spoke to us. This book helped us as a church. Paul had confronted this church with so many things. Hopefully, we're able to go back at some point and think about these things and remember what was the great issue, if you were to sum it up, that this church really struggled with, or a lot. But what would you say was the greatest issue they really struggled with? Well, I believe you could capture it by saying they were all caught up in using the world's wisdom to do ministry. Remember all that? To do the Lord's ministry. And everything was being either neglected or lost. It was just a mess.
And this book was a call to return. It was a call to return to the Lord as the body of Christ, to think of themselves as the body of Christ, to understand what the church is, how it functions, what it should be, the design of church, the mission of the church. It was designed to teach Christians they're not independents. You're not independents. You belong to the body of Christ. You're fit into that body. You are doing His work. Well, I believe that helps us tonight if you keep the big problem that was the major problem in this book. If that's set in front of us, it helps us to understand a little bit of the last chapter. At the end of chapter 15, he gave a summary statement, a great charge in that summary statement. In fact, I believe it was not just a summary to 1 Corinthians 15, it was a summary to the whole book. Notice everything he had addressed in verse 58, he gives a sort of conclusion, the giant therefore in the book. Look at it again in verse 58 of chapter 15. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. What a great verse. What a great verse. Be firm. Don't be tossed everywhere. Don't be tossed back and forth by all these worldly ideas. Be immovable. Keep your feet firmly planted in the gospel. But here it is. Here's what I believe drives the end of this book. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. It was a reminder. You're involved in the Lord's work. Emphasis. It's not your work. You're abounding in His work. That's so important because this church didn't understand that. Everything that they were doing were their own ideas, imposing their own agendas, and everything was lost. Everything was pushed to the side. It's not something, says Paul, you ever designed. You didn't design the Lord's work. You didn't design His church. You didn't put together the body of Christ. It's not something you're even holding together. It's His work. And you see how he motivated them. The last great subject, the subject of the resurrection in chapter 15, was designed to explain for them what Christ had secured for them in the resurrection. The future hope, the future glory, what is held out for them, what they can expect, what's going to happen when he returns, what's going to happen to their bodies when he returns. The future's all mapped out for you. It's done. Christ is raised, you're going to be raised. He's going to come get you. He's going to take you home. When he returns, you're going to be raised incorruptible. And we're going to always be with the Lord. That was 1 Corinthians 15. As soon as he explained that, he then now takes us back to the present to close out the book. And it's no surprise that he concludes this great book by explaining for them as a church what it means that they are to be about his work. His work. As a church, His great commission, His project. He's been explaining the whole time that that's going to require not worldly wisdom, but God's wisdom. He's been telling us the whole time that's going to require you guys to do discipline. That's going to require His ways and not your ways. It's going to require honoring His commands and not yours. Well, the last chapter functions to leave them with the question that we're always asking. People have written numerous books on this. How then shall we live? What shall we do? What should our service look like as we are abounding in the Lord's work? How do we keep busy until He comes? What is He after until He comes? He's already said, to keep in mind, just briefly to remind you, way back in chapter 3, that people can build with the wrong materials. Remember that? He had a whole chapter on ministry and building. And he said there are a lot of people who are out there doing the Lord's work who in actuality aren't doing much of His work whatsoever. They're doing their own. And that day is going to test that. That day is going to expose that they said they were doing all this work for Jesus, and actually it's going to be burnt up. It didn't accomplish anything. Isn't that something? You could be doing everything in the name of Jesus and doing nothing. What does this work look like? Voila, chapter 16. That's what this is. You'll notice in verse 10, he references the work of the Lord again. And you'll notice again in verse 16, he references those who are doing the work of the Lord. Chapter 16 is helping us understand the Lord's work. And you'll see that in three ways. Paul is instructing them in how to give to that work. Paul is instructing them in how to receive that work. And then finally, how they can share in that work personally themselves. How to give, how to receive, how to share. Let's start with giving. You'll notice it seems to come out of nowhere, but it follows right, and that's why, again, I'm not sure the chapter break was so helpful. Verse 58 would have been the great start to 16:1. In verse 16, we read, "Now concerning the collection for the saints," so be abounding in his work, "now concerning collection. As I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, you must also do." On the first day of the week, you'll notice there, as it said, on the first day of each week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. What a fascinating section, because we really do get, as we look at this final chapter, a real indication of what first century worship looked like, and the encouraging thing that many of the same practices they were doing, you're going to find you're still doing. And notice here that he gives instructions that were handed to them by the apostles. The inference there for us that what the early church did here, you'll notice, was gather, I have to say this, it's a side point, but I need to say it. They gathered for worship on the first day of the week. That little phrase is repeated over and over in the New Testament. That Sunday. That was the day of resurrection. It's interesting because it reads in the original, on the first of the Sabbath. As far as I know, and the scholars can correct me, but there's no Greek word for week. So every time you read on the first of the week, it's the first of the Sabbath. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb on the first of the Sabbath. That word was preserved. First of the Sabbaths. And notice here, on the first of the Sabbath, which tells us that Christians, early Christians, understood Sunday to be the Sabbath. Sunday the Sabbath. How far we want to take that because of translations and that is a question. But it is fascinating to me. That argument has so much come at us that we should be worshiping on the old Sabbath. Here we see, first day of the week, this is when they're gathering. As they're gathering to worship, I want you to notice what Paul instructs them to do. As they're gathering, I want you, he says, to lay aside something on the first day of the week as the Lord has prospered you. One of the supreme acts of worship, one of the great acts of worship, one of the things that the Lord always commanded his church, so that they would understand that they're sharing in something else. That's the goal here. That they're sharing in a greater project was giving. One of the great ways that people involve themselves in the Lord's work is by giving. Giving, it's commonly said, creates a bond. Of sharing in the work. It creates a bond between those whom we support, those whom we help. You know this, when you invest time in something, when you invest your energy in something, when your heart is in the project, you're a part of it. You're sharing in it. You're involved in it. And it does something else. Notice what Paul's saying. it's helping the whole project. He specifically mentions who he wanted them to give to. The Christians in Jerusalem. Their gift of financial support would go to the Christians in Jerusalem. There were many new Christians in Jerusalem. Jews who had converted to Christ, and they were under heavy persecution for the faith. Paul was so concerned about this. Paul had his eye there. And what does Paul want them to understand? He wanted them to understand. He is concerned that this church would understand how integral they are to the whole project. How connected they are to that project. They were involved in that project by doing the Lord's work that way. In this place, we want to see the gospel advance. We use what we can to provide the best place to let that happen. And we give to see that gospel advance to the ends of the earth. Paul was encouraging them. That's why it should never be a bitter spirit of giving. He's encouraging them because he wanted them to know you're part of a great building project. Don't underestimate your giving to being a part of the Lord's work. That's what he's saying. Don't underestimate your giving as actually doing the work of the Lord. You ever think, I've said this before, but it's so important because we live in an environment here in this church where we see so many young men pass through here for gospel ministry. And I always like to have us think about what one faithful gospel minister out in the field, preaching faithfully week in and week out, doing his job, preaching. Do you realize the benefit that is to the life of the whole project? Just one. How many children converted under that ministry? How many people born again under that ministry? How many souls pulled out of the fire under that ministry? How many people rescued from that ministry? What's our attitude about that? This is why I've said, and I'm not propping it, I'm saying we have a seminary in our backyard doing this. It's a great work. How much do we need to help to set apart missionaries for the gospel, ordained pastors? We're a part of this. That's what he's telling you. The Lord's work. Paul wrote the Roman Christians in the Church of Rome to explain this. At present, I'm going to Jerusalem to bring aid to the saints. See, it was his concern. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it. And indeed, they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought to be of service to them in material blessings. These Gentile churches in Macedonia and Achaia took up offerings for the poor in Jerusalem. And Paul says, I'm going there. I'm going to minister that to them because of the generosity of the Gentiles. Paul was excited to encourage the Roman church in this. He needed this from them. He knew it was a sign of a healthy church, and their giving was proof of their thankfulness for what they had received. Paul even said it pleased them to give, and their debtors, for if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, talking about the Jews, then their duty, Gentiles, is to minister to them in material things. Corinth had a struggle with this. He didn't commend Corinth in their giving. And here, they may have had a very sour spirit in it. Sometimes the ministry of mercy can become the ministry of scrutiny with a very sour spirit. We don't ever want a ministry of scrutiny. We want a ministry of mercy. So, dear Corinthians, as Paul prospers you, each of you should set something aside. He doesn't say it's just 10%. In fact, I don't find the tithe in the New Testament. I don't find it. I want a free will offering. you set something aside. As the Lord's prospered you, I want it to come from your hearts. You can really share in my work that way, says the Lord. Give that way. Don't drop in out of burden. As the Lord's prospered you. See the simplicity in that? People say all the time, I want to do something great for God. I hear this incessantly. Let's start with this. That's where Paul started. The great chapter on abounding in the work of the Lord started right here. Amazing. What a blessing. What a privilege. So this is investment in his work. Paul says, then the evidence of that investment, Paul says, send responsible men with a letter. Sometimes in churches, they have even the Canadian Reformed churches have a letter of attestation where they would carry around a letter that stated, we know this person. We can testify to the honesty and integrity of this person. We would be just devastated if we had letters go around with us today. But that's what they did in the early church. They had letters of attestation. And honorable men would carry these monies. And Paul says, send the letter and we'll go together. It's just a beautiful section. You can be a part of the Lord's work by giving to that work. Second, Paul then turns around and says, your giving has the result of God sending. Look at this. There's sort of the principle of he who reaps sows sparingly, reaps sparingly. I want you to notice here what the next section's emphasizing in verses 5 through 12. Many say this is just abstract ministry plans. Not at all. What is this and why is Paul revealing it? He wants them to understand what God is doing and how they are to receive it, but he gives them a window into the heart of the ministry. Here's what God's work is looking like out on the field. What did he promise to do in the Great Commission? Send you preachers. And they would go out and that they would preach and baptize. He gave the Great Commission to his apostles. Go and baptize. Not everyone goes and not everyone's baptizing. Universally, that was understood as ordained servants doing it. I want you to look at verse 5. Now, I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you just now in passing. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work, there it is again, has been opened to me. Effective work, there's the work. And there are many adversaries. God was opening up all these doors everywhere. And notice here, God was opening up doors for the ordained servants to be going to places. And he puts these in these servants' hearts, what? Did you notice it? What are they determined to do? What do they care about doing? What is on their heart? They're calculated. They're praying. They're thinking best where doors are being opened and how to be effective. Paul wants to come to them. But this big door is open in Ephesus for the moment. And he goes, there are so many adversaries here. It's hard work, but I've got to stay because I'm seeing people coming in. Whose work is this? In the midst of it, Paul says, if the Lord permits, the Lord is working, the Lord is sending, the Lord is opening, the Lord is filling hearts with wisdom to minister the gospel. Not only are they to support this splendid work, but what Paul's goal is saying, I can't be with you now, but guess what? Somebody else is going to come. Look at verse 10. Who's mentioned? Lo and behold, it's Timothy. Paul wants to send Timothy. When Timothy comes, see that he see that you put him at ease among you. I think a better way to translate that, which a lot of other translations have captured, see that when he comes, that he can come to you without fear. He does the work of the Lord as I do. Why is Paul having to say that? Therefore, let no one despise him. Why would Paul have to say that? This church had a reputation in Corinth, let me tell you. Timothy wanted to go to Corinth, but can you imagine the discussion between Paul and Timothy? Paul, that church is going to devour me. Do you know what they're going to do to me? He had a lot of apprehension about going there, but he wanted to go. You know how many churches pastors won't touch because of hard, complaining people in them? That discussion does go on, by the way. What was Corinth's responsibility? Now put this in context. Always abound in the work of the Lord. Timothy does that work. Here's how you abound. Support that ministry. Support the ministry in your giving and support those whom God sends to you with encouragement, upbuilding, prayer, with help. He has put it in their hearts to come to you. He, God Himself, has sent them to you. He fills past hearts with desires for where we go and who we serve. That's His work. Don't rip them up. That's what he's essentially saying to Corinth. You abound in the Lord's work when you receive His servants. Understand that? You abound in the Lord's work when you receive His servants. And you pray for them. And you encourage them.
Listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more. Static. Noise. That's all we hear, or so it seems. Where would you go? What would you pay to hear the truth? Good news. It's free and nearby. The Bible is God's truth. At the Escondido United Reformed Church, Chris Gordon preaches Christ the truth from God's Word every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, 760-745-1679, EURC.org.